Tuesday, February 18th, 2025, Board of Commissioners meeting at 3 p.m.
Start with Pledge Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And take attendance.
Okay, Marty?
Yep.
Rogelio?
Yep.
Brian?
Present.
Rick?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
A current copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted at the west wall near the entrance of the county board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. Does anybody have anything that they want to talk about that's not on today's agenda? All right. We'll go to consent agenda items. Approval of the previous minutes, February 3rd, 2025. Approval of payroll claims from February 2nd, February 15th, 2025. Approval of payroll accounts payable claims. Approval of accounts payable claims. Approval of official reports. County clerk, the register of deeds, and the clerk of district court. I came in this morning and went through with Jeff Reed, went through all the accounts payable, went through payroll just a little bit ago, and everything seemed to be in order.
I can make a motion to approve the consent agenda A through E.
I'll second.
Okay, Rogelio?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Marty?
Yep. New business. Dakota County Extension and 4-H Ambassadors to Prevent 4-H Month Proclamation and request the board acknowledgement and approval.
Oh.
All right.
There's one of our ambassadors. There they are. Okay, perfect. We're
all nice. Come on up.
This is like FFA week.
It is FFA week, and it was supposed to be elementary ag week, but they pushed it back to next week because it's like next.
Because of the cold?
Yeah. Well, they had late starts every day this week, so the goats and the chickens and everything that was going to go to the elementary school is going to go next week. So.
Oh, well, at least it's going to show up.
They're still going to go, yes.
Well, we have a proclamation. Nebraska 4-H Month is being celebrated the entire month of February. And just to let you guys know, we had Spirit Day on February 6th. Last week was our Volunteer Appreciation Day. This week is all of our supporters, usually our donors and people that support our trophies and so forth. Next week, we're doing the Give Back, which is encouraging all of our 4-H'ers to be involved in their community. And then our last day of February, we're popping into 4-H because we're doing a popcorn theme this year. So, so this year's national theme is called Beyond Ready, which is encouraging our kids to be ready for all the changes that are happening in our world. And so we're looking at being more ready, prepared for them, more community involvement, as well as getting more youth involved in our program. And if you had a chance to flip through, our annual report this year was all about our 4-H ambassadors, mm-hmm. which I have one here today that is here to share just a little bit about what she has done in the 4-H program. We would have four more from Dakota, but basketball schedules has caused some problems in this week with it being sub-district. So, So that's the reason why the other four are not here at this present time. So Alexis Jessen is our lucky person. You want to share just a little bit about what you've, I guess, shared your club and maybe why you wanted to be an ambassador and what things you've been doing?
So my name's Alexis Jessen. I am part of Homer Future Leaders, based out of Homer. I want to be an ambassador because I thought it'd be a fun experience for fair, just to do something more than just showing my animals or doing exhibit hall. And overall, it has been a really good experience, getting to meet new people, helping hand out ribbons at the shows. It's really fun.
And this year, they were helped deliver cardinal baskets.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
On that morning, so we had all of them. We had two pickup loads move in produce and goods for families, which was a nice thing to give back. And then I know they help out quite a bit at the county fair. And then there's also times like this, and then they do training as well. So we've been meeting online since, has it been October or November? I think it was November. And then we're going to be on campus in April and doing some, I know, service learning at that point. So I did bring you the proclamation to sign.
What kind of projects do you do?
I show cows, chickens, and then I do my exhibit hall. This year I'm going to show a rabbit as well and possibly a duck.
Okay.
And when she says exhibit hall, she's referring to the static exhibits like foods or home environment.
I do baking mostly, and then I'm going to enter art this year, some art projects that I've been doing in school.
Yeah.
Very good.
So is it possible to get a picture?
Absolutely. Awesome. And thank you for helping with the Cardinal Christmas baskets this year, because I've been involved with it for years, and it's the fastest that all of the boxes had ever been delivered because there were so many people involved in it. So keep that going if you would. That sure helps out.
Yes, that was a great experience for them.
It was. I mean, they were done. They were through it.
I did two trips with the group I was with, and I was like, oh, they're done.
Yeah, that was great. Do you want to do it up here, down there?
Whatever's the best spot to take a picture.
Take a picture? I know, it's good for, and this is great, I tell the kids, this is
all right,
so good for your public speaking abilities, and then when you go for scholarships. Oh, yeah.
Yep. Why don't you just come over here, Brian? You're in the back.
I'll stand in the back.
Very good.
That's why I want to stand up on that ledge, a little taller.
I put lotion on my hands. I shouldn't have done that.
I guess I'll make sure Mike gets
my
paper.
Crappy one.
You look good.
Angela, hold on one more.
Oh, wait. Yeah.
I have to tell you guys, we did this with the governor the first week of February. So.
Well, he didn't.
And I also wanted to let you guys know that our extension board members, we have three new members on our board, Leah Russell, Donna Habnick, and Edward Fink. So just letting you know that we have three new board members. And Sherry, if you want me to email that to you, that's easier with the name so that you get it spelled right. But just wanted you to be aware of our extension board members as well.
Will you get to go to the national convention?
For FFA. Are you going to the national?
No.
Homer doesn't have an FFA program.
Oh, boy.
So they usually, and they don't cooperate with any schools.
Working on it.
So
I know the shop teacher, Mr. Lambert, said he would definitely help with FFA if we didn't get a program.
Yeah, it's just going to require probably some dollars and some advisor.
The Emerson sent several kids to state. Every year they go to state for several years in a row. They've done the national. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's such a great, great thing. This is like a great thing for these kids to have to come and speak in front of adults at a meeting. You know, just all of those things to further your people's skin, obviously. Yeah.
As a former Willis 4-H feeder, I was in 4-H for all years when I was a younger guy, and I really enjoyed it. And Fair Week was always a great week, something we look forward to. So.
It's a busy week that you learn a lot of time management, don't you?
Yeah.
And I know as ambassadors, they found out showing and trying to get ready so that they could do their role and getting ready for the parade to we ask them to do.
We're also looking for volunteers, former 4-H'ers, you have any special skills? I'm looking for ideas for my meetings every month. Yeah, always looking for ideas. Yeah. Thank you for letting us.
You bet. Appreciate it.
So, Sherry, can I have Alexis come up there and sign? Because I don't have a pen on me.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to take that up to Sherry.
Sherry's signing it.
Every day when you get up, everyone touches agriculture.
Yes.
Every day.
Did you eat
whether you're a vegan or not, you are touching that.
Especially if you're a vegan.
Huh?
But especially if you're a vegan.
Right.
Yeah. Very good. Well, thank you for letting us come in and supporting
you bet.
Dakota County 4-H.
Is the garden show that they've been advertising, is it over at the...
I think it's over at the
Lewis and Clark Interpretive Center this year. Thanks. Okay.
Yes. Yep. So it'll be, I think, March 22nd. Mm-hmm. Flyers are at the office, and I think it's not like it used to be. It's more of a speaker. You pay for your lunch for the day.
Uh-huh.
And I don't remember who's on the schedule, but
okay.
We've got flyers. If you are interested and want to know more about that, we can sure bring you over some. Has Julie brought some over, Sheree?
I haven't seen them.
You haven't seen them? Okay. Well, we'll make sure to get a couple over here to you guys. I was actually going to grab a few, but didn't think about it.
I'll swing by and grab one of them.
Yeah, yeah. Perfect. And I will scan this and
that would be good.
And send it to you.
Yep,
does that work? Okay. Perfect. Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
You bet. Thank you, guys.
See you soon.
You bet.
Yep.
Property Space Utilization Committee to report and discuss drainage issue around different areas of the jail and courthouse, possible concrete removal replacement. Board to decide how to proceed if necessary.
Okay, I met with
Todd
from the jail, and we went out to the north side of the courthouse. And the reason that the elevator shaft's getting water in is because the concrete is sloped towards the courthouse and the drain pipe's coming down and the water can't get away, so it's running right back into the courthouse.
In the jail side of it or the courthouse?
In the jail side of it.
Okay.
That's where it's running. Was it Randy that does the courthouse maintenance?
Rodney.
Rodney. According to Todd, he said he had a period of time he can hear water running in where his little office is downstairs, and it's right there.
Okay.
So there's one section of concrete that needs to either be pump jacked. I think a guy could maybe pump jack it and get it up to where it needs to be so that it will drain out. Maybe some of those other ones too. But I think that's secure, and then maybe having someone come in and do some concrete caulking. Not just your standard, have someone that knows what they're doing, like Gil or Harris, come in and do the, like okay. What they do out on the highway. So,
Randy, has that, I know that there's been a problem with water in that shaft, elevator shaft, for years. Do you remember a time when it was dry?
No.
I know there's definitely a water issue around
well,
there.
Well,
so.
if you go over there, I can take each of you over there. I can show you what the problem is.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually what's going to happen is it'll freeze and thaw and bust out that part of the courthouse too.
And as heavy as that building is too,
it'll
start settling even more than half.
I think we could have someone come in here and try the pump jack at first and get that concrete to come back up because it has settled.
Does it look like the concrete's sound enough that if we could get it lifted?
Yeah,
it's
hard.
Okay.
It's hard and it ain't cracked from what I've seen.
Do we want to get have a bid on it?
We can get a couple of bids
or
we can just find someone that does that kind of work and come in and take a look at it.
Do you want to do that?
I can do that.
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
So that's I think that'll cure the problem of the water running.
Yeah. I mean, water... That's the number one thing to stay away from a structure like that, so it should definitely be taken care of.
There's two slabs over there. One is on the, what I would call the east and the north side of the jail, kind of going back to the sally port, and you can see that the concrete is sloping back towards the courthouse, towards the jail. So that needs to be raised too. I think it can all be done with the pump jack.
Okay.
So.
All right.
Bids will get approved by you guys later.
Yeah, just bring it back to the
okay.
board.
I'll get some quotes.
All right, sounds good. Then B, C, and D or no, C, D, and E took care of themselves. The gentlemen were got released by his doctor, so we are not having to deal with those.
Perfect.
And then F, discuss possible change orders on M Avenue project, board to approve or not approve any changes.
Hello.
Hi.
So if you remember, I don't know, a couple of, well, back at the beginning of January, some of you guys weren't here, but the Josh from MEI was here to discuss possible changes from the 28 foot to the 30 foot. And he just wanted to make sure that was something the whole board was interested in. He knows we got some new board members before he went up and tried to do some change orders with that. Another issue was, well, this was kind of one of my concerns. When you redo a road, it takes several months, up to a year, depending on how much new grade, new dirt, everything's added to it before it firms up good. And with M Avenue being a busy road, I asked the engineer if there was anything we could do to kind of help speed that process up or make it so it wasn't so soft at the beginning. And he recommended we could do a gravel embedment. So as the contract stands now, Cooney's got the bid for the job. He'd go out and do it, and then we would go out. We hauled in all the crushed concrete, go and put that out for a base, and then put the gravel on top. What Josh from MEI suggested is to disc in that crushed concrete, roll it and pack it, and then put the gravel on top. That would help it firm up faster. He's wondering if you guys would be on board to do that, and then he would reach out to, he talked to Cooney. Cooney said whatever the county wants, he will do. But Josh just wants to make sure that'd be something you guys would be interested in before he went through the work to kind of get that going.
Have you checked into fly ash at all?
No.
Embedding it with fly ash?
We do have all the crushed concrete bought ready for it.
Okay. There is going to be a lot of heavy traffic out there, and I think it probably is a good idea to embed that crushed concrete and then put gravel over the top of it and harden it.
Do we probably need a cost estimate?
And that's what Josh is wondering.
Yeah.
I mean, if you guys didn't want to entertain the idea, he just was going to have it, you know, let it go as is. Our guys could go out and do some of that, but Cooney's out there, we'd have to rent some of the stuff to be able to make that happen. At this point, we could just supply the crushed concrete, and then after he got it embedded in, then we could go back in.
In theory, you know, with the road, if the road went from 28 to 30, they'd be moving a lot less material, so you'd think there wouldn't be enough charge, but since it's a change order, it'd be interesting to see if there would be enough charge to go.
And he said some of the areas are right at 28 foot and are really good, and he didn't really want to mess with those areas. Some of the areas 30 foot, and we're keeping the road base as it is, and we're just cleaning out the ditches and putting the dirt on top, so it's not like we're completely starting out with a fresh grade, but you'll have 4 to 6 inches of softer material on top. And as you know, once people start sliding or tracking, they get pretty nervous out there on the gravel roads. So just wanted to check to see if it's worth entertaining to come up with a cost.
What do you guys think?
I think so. I think anytime you embed that larger aggregate, you're going to have a better base.
Okay.
All right. Yeah.
Have you given it any thought or to doing a mag on that road?
For stabilization on that, we did that on the first half mile or so,
a little more
from
than
the
that.
Bridge out to the lake entrance, and it did not work very well for
it
us.
Didn't hold up.
It just turned slick. Too
first
much clay.
First time we had a little bit of moisture, it was just slimy.
Okay.
There's just too much clay in that material that it just did not.
There's got to be an answer, but that wasn't it.
Concrete.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll need to work on that. Yeah, I'm with Jeff. I think we need to make that a good solid road because that is a heavily used farm road.
Okay.
And with the lake out there and the people with their campers are going to need it.
I'll reach out to Josh and see if they can come up with for costs. And
when is Cooney going to move in there and start that project?
He was thinking mid to end of March, weather depending. So we're
okay.
coming
so
up probably about 4 to 6 weeks. If the weather straightens up, he should. That sounds like it was going to be one of the first things he was going to attempt. So.
Or is he going to try to straighten it out there by Dave and Ruth's?
By where?
By Dave and Ruth Stewart's. Or are they going to try to straighten that section out there where it's bent back in?
I don't think any of that's being touched. I think we're starting at the south end of the lake road.
Mm-hmm. From just south of where the lake road is.
Okay.
And heading south to almost to Fiddler Creek.
Okay.
So kind of like 210th Street to 240th.
All right. Fair enough.
He's sticking to those section lines, so.
So, yeah, it won't impact a lot of the campers now.
No. Very few should be coming in from that way.
Okay.
That was kind of the thought when we did the mag on the road, you know, trying to make it better for those. And
okay, I'll reach out to Josh on that.
All right, and then you're next.
We have 52 hours grading the roads, 42.5 on overtime. That was with snow removal. We had 16 hours out working on a culvert. It was plugged up, and then the water was starting to try and come across the road. 165 hours on snow removal. We did not haul any gravel in the last 2 weeks. 3 hours on signs, and we had grading concerns on L Avenue, Mattaway Road, and Elgin Avenue. With it being this cold this week, obviously we will not be out, but hopefully next week when it starts to warm up and if the temperatures hold, we can do something. Next Thursday, we're opening bids for gravel and bridge inspections. So those will be at the next board meeting to review those.
Okay.
Any questions?
Thank you for taking the decks and everything over the last several days.
Yep. It was.
Well, I should say thank you too.
It was a little hairy at times. People trying to cover routes where they weren't quite sure where they needed to be. Had to go back out a couple times to catch some roads we missed. But overall, the guys did a pretty good job. So.
Are you still short-handed?
Yes.
Other than the road foreman, how many people are you short?
The
weed guy.
The weed and sign, and then two operators.
Two operators plus the foreman?
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so I did reach out to Brian and Jeff. I know you're going to take over for the road foreman part interviews.
Yeah.
Is that what I understood? But we still need to go over applications for the operators. So I don't know who's.
Are there applications out there?
Yeah, I do have a good handful. They just needed to be weeded out, contacted.
It'd be nice if we had our foreman in place to let him make those hires.
I think I understand that it's a bad time of year and we're short, and you know, if it gets a bad snowstorm, we're going to be in trouble. But I think you're right. I think it would be real nice to get our foreman in place so he can have some input on that. It's just going to set him up for him or her for success, I think.
Yeah, I would agree. Also would agree.
So we'll just hold up. Because I did have some people calling, and I'm like, well, hopefully this week, hopefully that, you know. But
by next meeting. So the interviews, we're looking at possibly doing the interviews next a week from Wednesday.
Okay.
Then at our next meeting, I would think that there'll be a recommendation to the board, and then the board will decide if that's what they want to do. So.
Okay. So I'll just tell people to be a little bit more patient, and we can get something rolling in that aspect of it.
What about all the applications for the weed board? That was kind of nice to see, because we went forever not having any.
Yeah, we went for a few years with nothing. So
okay.
Yeah. Okay, well, we will wait to see what happens then. All right.
All right.
Thank you.
Commissioner committee reports. Commissioner committee reports. Anybody have a meeting?
I just have one. Well, Tree and I went to the emergency management exercise plan last week, and it was very eye opening for me. We went through an exercise of a planned weather event, and you know, what do you do? When do you start closing roads? When do you start closing the courthouse? When do you, you know, not so much for us, but in Woodbury County, you know, to get your hospital staffed and things of that nature. So it was real eye opening for me. I got a lot out of it. One thing that that was brought up, and I talked to Kim about a little bit about maybe doing a mutual aid agreement with the emergency management teams in Woodbury County and Union County, South Dakota, especially Woodbury County. They have quite a bit of resources that we don't. We have.
I think there is already one established.
Is there
for emergency managers?
Yeah,
for emergency. I know there's for fire,
and I know for law enforcement too there is. But I think there is. I think there's some for that too. I think that's
not that we've found yet, but
we have a hazmat agreement.
We have hazmat.
Yeah.
So I know.
And I asked Mike, and he sent a few, but
so it's anyway. That's
emergency.
Yeah, Deanna does not have, and that's what it came out of, is like
that's crazy that hasn't been done yet.
Yeah, it seems like a no-brainer, so that's...
And it sounds like they're more than willing to work with other counties, too.
They're very willing. They have a good group there, especially, like I said, Deanna and the gentleman from Union County and Woodbury County. They talk often and work together well. And, like I said, very informational for me.
Deanna's very good at her job.
She is very good.
Yeah, she's very thorough.
Yep. She is.
And we're going to probably in the next couple of years lose her. She started to say that retirement word, and I just turn around when she starts to say it. So,
or we will be looking for someone for a long time.
Yeah.
So, that's
all right. Ahead. I went down on Friday to the workshop for county chairs, and was interesting. Talked a lot about the legislative bills, and obviously the biggest ones are anything that's going to change the new budget format. And again, they're not going to know that until the end of the session. But it's going to make budgeting very interesting this year, and it's going to be hard because we're going to, you know, hopefully start meeting with our groups by April-ish or May, and we won't even know how the budget is going to be constructed till, you know, probably late into May. So it's going to be not the best situation. But that's all I had.
I had a health department meeting. They talked more about some of that grant money and how they are going to spend it. Looks like they're going to get some PPE for the fire department, and then they're looking at getting some. They explained it to me as more like a machine that does like sanitation with like UV lights.
Oh, yeah.
So you're getting a couple of those for the ambulances, a smaller one here for the health department, and I think one for the jail is what they were talking about.
Oh,
so that's kind of what they're using that grant for, because it has to be used for PPE-specific items, which kind of limits the funding that they can use it for.
And it was quite a bit of money, so just being able to find... Well, that's a good problem to have, that we don't have
what
very much.
What was the dollar figure on that?
It's like $330,000.
Yeah, it was 300 and some.
Yeah.
That's a huge number.
Yeah, apparently they, at the end of ARPA, that group wound up with a bunch of extra funds, so they're going to use it in that regard. Good. Anybody else? Mail and emergency business. I did receive a letter that I'd share with you guys. Dear Mr. Hohenstein and fellow commissioners, it says, I would like to take a few moments to share my story with you about Nick Neiman, our Dakota County Veteran Service Officer. I've worked in Dakota County my whole life, yada da yada da. I had started working with Nick when I found out about the new PAC Act. Nick got the ball rolling right away on trying to get me compensation for some of the conditions I had. Meanwhile, things were getting really tight and my savings were really low. One day I stopped in to see him on some paperwork he needed. That day he asked how it was going. I explained to him that things were really tight and weren't sure what I was going to do. He stepped in and said he could help with some vouchers for food and fuel. I can't tell you how much that helped. He also stepped in and helped me with a utility bill that was going to collection. I was at 10% disability when I started with Nick. He has went above and beyond on working with my claims. With the work and the appeals, he has gotten me to 92% disability through the VA. What a game changer for me and my family. And he isn't finished yet. Due to me having more amputations done that are service connected. All in all, I just wanted to let you know what kind of person he is. Without his help, not sure how things would be. He's very knowledgeable, takes time to figure things out. I am positive this isn't the only letter you have gotten in regards to him. Marty, I'm just an old jarhead, which explains my letter writing ability. Thank you and all the commissioners for having Nick in Dakota County helping all of us. It takes a special kind of person to do this job. Thank you, Nick. Me and my family are in a better place because of you. I ran into the gentleman a couple of days later, and he had the front portion of his foot amputated at that time, and the surgery seemed to be going well. And he was in and had borrowed a wheelchair from Nick until he got back on his feet. So, yeah, just wanted to read that letter.
You know, we don't really realize how many veterans are out there that need assistance. I was watching a veteran, and I went along to the KCs, and he would come to the meetings, and I noticed he was getting a lot thinner, and he was a big man. Mm-hmm. So I delved into it, and Phil Johnston was the veteran service officer at the time, and I brought him down here, and he was starving to death.
Yeah.
He wasn't eating, and he didn't want to mess with the VA because of the paperwork. Well, they had to streamline the paperwork.
Yeah.
So I got his DD-214 and took him down here, and
they do some amazing work, that's for sure.
They do. They really, they can help him. But, you know, when you see a veteran out there and you see him struggling, you need to ask them if they're getting the proper care.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I grew up next to one. I lived here when I was growing up. He was our front door neighbor when we lived in the trailer park here, and he would always come and I'd help us mow our lawns. He was a mechanic in the... during like Vietnam, so he worked on the airplane, so he was always fixing all of the lawnmowers for everybody around the neighborhood, and he had a riding mower, so he would come over and help out every now and then, and we would go help him out with stuff, and he gave my brothers like books and stuff when we were growing up, so he's what I imagine whenever I think veterans, so like that,
yeah.
Having something like that is, yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah. All right. Any other mail or emergency business? What do you want
to
add, Brian?
I'd like to make a motion to adjourn.
This guy. I'll second.
Thank you.